The womb of Mother Earth. Man and woman. Transformation and rebirth. Whatever exists in this world exists as a reality of mind and being that is not only part of the pattern, but is representative of a reality on all levels of mind and being. Man and woman were created in the image and likeness of Creator God, because mankind is imbued with the divine pattern of the whole. At their core, all computer programs can be broken down to sequences of zeros and ones, negative and positive, and the result of the zeros and ones as manifest in the design of the computer program which the user interacts with can be seen as the third force result of the two polarities. Regardless of how complex the computer program, there's nothing more than the core zeros and ones that form all actions within the computer. Once properly understood, all of creation is molded in the same pattern that is the divine pattern, and what man calls the logos is the third force balance that is the offspring of the male slash female polarities, which are often called mother slash father God. The logos, therefore, is representative of the mind of God, and the duality of man and woman is expressed in the physical from the macrocosm of the universal mind and consciousness, which we call God, into the microcosm. Woman is therefore not only an opposite gender from man, but is an opposite polarity, and is of an opposite frequency from man that interacts in this world on a different spectrum of vibration than her male opposite. Thus, she not only sees the outer world from an opposite perspective, but her powers of mind are in like manner opposite to that of her male counterpart. Woman is everything that organic man is not, and vice versa. And these differences are explored at $$$. One of the greatest lessons the people of our modern culture must learn is that while as opposite halves of the whole, male and female are equal, yet equal does not mean the same. Perhaps this is best expressed in the introduction of the long-ignored book Brain Sex by Anne Moyer and David Jessel, where they wrote, "Men are different from women. They are equal only in their common membership of the same species, humankind. To maintain that they are the same in aptitude, skill or behaviors to build a society based on a biological and scientific lie." More recently, another female researcher named Dr. Luan Brizendini has authored a book named The Female Mind. Dr. Brizendini, whose book is based on her own clinical work and analyses of more than 1,000 scientific studies, added, "There is no unisex brain. Girls arrive already wired as girls, and boys arrive already wired as boys. Their brains are different by the time they're born, and their brains are what drive their impulses, values, and their very reality. I know it is not politically correct to say this, but I've been torn for years between my politics and what science is telling us. I believe women actually perceive the world differently from men. If women attend to those differences, they can make better decisions about how to manage their lives. These more informed decisions are basically impossible for most women in today's culture because of the biological lie that is being promoted due to political correctness and lack of development from a feminine perspective of mind and being." The key to the dilemma that confronts mankind today is further seen in the words of the authors of Brain Sex with respect to their opposition to the ideas we teach our children. In our modern-day politically correct culture, what you will read in this book about the differences between men and women may make both sexes angry or smug. Both reactions are wrong. If women have reason to rage, it is not because science has set at naught their hard-won struggle towards equality. Their wrath should rather be directed at those who have sought to misdirect and deny them their very essence. And in appraising the vast difference in the feminine intuitive mind from its male opposite, the authors conclude that women should contribute their specific female gifts rather than waste their energies in the pursuit of a sort of surrogate masculinity. A woman's greater imagination can solve intractable problems, be they professional or domestic, at one apparently intuitive stroke. Perhaps one of modern man's gravest errors is when he portrays man and woman as separate individuals who are independently complete from each other, attempting to consign their gender differences to their biological role of reproduction only. And admittedly, this has been caused by political correctness and the agenda of radical feminism, which agenda is a detriment to mankind as demonstrated in the article, Lilith, The Demonic Reality of the Modern Feminist Movement. In reality, a man is a man, because a woman is a woman, and to portray them as individuals is to portray one half of the mind as being individually separate from the other half of the mind. As revealed in esoteric teachings, that the soul is asexual and is in fact greater than the sum of what is manifested in the very limited reality and polarities of male and female, then from a soul perspective. The separation of male and female can be portrayed as a human flaw that inhibits man's progress beyond that supported by the polarity of his gender, which gives an entirely new meaning to the allegorical separation of Adam and Eve and the fall from the garden. Yet, once truly understood from the perspective of man's holographic reality, the very separation of gender is in fact the vehicle that can begin to open the door to a higher reality of life beyond the organic limits of carnal consciousness and this world. In the same way that an ovum and sperm must first split, and then be rejoined to their opposite polarity in order to bring about the embryonic and fetus stage that is necessary in the process of higher birth into this world, the role of man and woman as a cosmic ovum and sperm becomes of ultimate importance for those seeking to bring about the next stage of birth in what Jesus portrayed as the kingdom within. That while this next stage of birth is not through the womb of a physical woman and yet must be brought about through the womb of Mother Earth, and ultimately, the womb of Mother God, is why the Ebionites believe that both sides of the paradoxical equation were true and Jesus was born from a physical woman, as well as the power of the Virgin, which is allegorically portrayed as Mary. And just as important is the reality of Joseph, which portrays the non-physical masculine polarity of the generative power of the kingdom. Enter by the narrow gate, states Jesus to those seeking to enter into life. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14 NKJ. Why? Because on a mental level, the man and woman who exist as cosmic ovum and sperm must reunite what is portrayed in the allegory of Adam and even within themselves. And this is why Jesus portrayed mental adultery as a sin, that is. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Matt 5:28 NIV. If the two must become one flesh, and the physical bodies do not join and merge, then this condition of oneness is on a mental and etheric level of being. In the Genesis portrayal of the tree of duality, aka tree of knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of the separation brings about that condition which is biblically and spiritually portrayed as death. In the same way that an ovum and sperm that fails to unite and become an embryo which evolves into a fetus and be born very quickly perishes and dies, so too does man and woman who remain separate and divided cosmic ovum and sperm. Moreover, because reality exists in the third force balance of the two opposite polarities, men and women have no more real permanence than an ovum that has not been fertilized by a sperm, or a sperm that has failed to unite and fertilize an egg. And in the same way that the first stage of physical birth was brought about through the joining of sperm and egg, the next stage of birth can only be brought about through the interaction and integration of male and female impressions of mind into the third force balance that expands the consciousness beyond the physical organic limitations. Oneness is therefore evolved and brought about in the expanded etheric field, enabling the two to become one flesh. Matt 19:6. On a mental etheric level in the field that surrounds them, which permits entrance out of the womb of this world into the inner kingdom that Jesus declared would never come upon the earth. See, in the same way that this world cannot manifest in the womb of your mother, and it was necessary to achieve physical birth to experience the higher reality of the world, Jesus stated that the kingdom cannot manifest in the womb of Mother Earth and must be experienced through the next stage of birth. Do these concepts sound radical and even nuts by our modern-day cultural mindset? Paul warns the believers at Corinth, who he personally instructed, that in their natural organic state of mind, it would be impossible for them to comprehend the higher reality of the soul and what Paul called the mysteries of God, that is. Paul writes, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." 1 Cor 2:14 NKJ. Paul then goes on and warns these believers of a natural mind who were baptized and dedicated to Christ, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. one Core 3, one NAS. Thus, these believers could only be taught the elementary and allegorical doctrine of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, one Core 2, 2, because they were not yet spiritual men, but rather, they were men of flesh and still very much babes in Christ. Paul then explains that, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. 1 Cor 3, 2 NAS. The problem is seen in the fact that the vast multitude of men and women are no more prepared to understand the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of God today than they were when the above warnings were written. And if the reality that I am presenting sounds strange and even outrageous, then the reader's own rejection is proof of what Paul wrote when he warned that when he was taken up into the kingdom, that he heard things so astounding that they are beyond a man's power to describe or put in words. And with respect to this esoteric knowledge / gnosis, Paul warns that after gazing upon the reality of the mysteries, those who have been enlightened will have witnessed a higher reality that will be of such a profound nature that they will not be allowed to tell them to others. 2 Cor 12, 4 TLB. To the degree that the first century elder Ignatius warned in his epistle to the Tralles, where he speaks of the esoteric knowledge and mysteries, and writes, might I not write to you things more full of mystery? But I fear to do so, lest I should inflict injury on you who are babes. Pardon me in this respect, lest, as not being able to receive their weighty import, ye should be strangled by them. One of the realities that few men and women ever come to terms with is the fact that when they were born into this world, they emerged out of the womb of their mother as cosmic ovum and sperm in the greater womb of Mother Earth, with the objective of bringing about the next stage of birth of mind that Jesus warned was absolutely necessary to enter into life in the kingdom. Therefore, as a cosmic ovum or sperm, the whole foundation of your thinking and mindset is not only polarized to the gender you were born into, but without becoming integrated into the opposite polarity, which would make you a cosmic embryo. Your thinking and mindset remains polarized to your physical gender, and you therefore lack the foundational essence of a cosmic embryo that has the potential to become a spiritual fetus. In the case of either the physical ovum or sperm that was joined to create your physical body, the 46 human chromosomes split into 23 each in order to become a fertilized egg that has the potential to evolve into an embryo, a fetus, and emerge out of the womb into the next womb. And again, following the pattern of the physical, those few physical eggs that properly develop were able to mature to the degree where the fetus was able to emerge out of the womb and into the womb of this world, where the next stage of birth has the potential to be brought about. The womb of your physical mother could only sustain your development to a certain level, and at the point of physical birth, you then entered the next womb of Mother Earth to undergo your next stage of development. And while the organic male/female cosmic ovum/sperm mindset and thinking serves the universe with respect to the need to continue the species, the higher reality of the cosmic embryo and spiritual fetus is not fully supported by the organic consciousness of the earth. And this is why Yeshua/Jesus taught that while many are called, few are chosen. When Jesus warned that those who believed his teachings should seek to enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14 NKJ. The word translated destruction in no manner represents what is actually being presented. Quoting a footnote on this word in the Schofield Reference Bible, which reads, there is no thought in these various words of annihilation, but of something that is ruined and thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose. And in the same way that a woman does not perish if one of her eggs fails to evolve into a fetus, neither does the soul perish when one of its images, which is projected into this world, fails to evolve through the three stages of birth. And in the same way that the woman's egg that fails to become an embryo is thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose, so too is the embryonic image of the soul that is projected into this world unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose. And this purpose is to bring about the necessary threefold birth that enables the soul to enter into what Jesus portrayed as life. To further demonstrate the higher reality of birth, that was portrayed to Nicomedes in the Gospel of John, see cosmic ovum and sperm. Jesus stated, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," and this fact is a true reality of life. Because the church has been spiritually disenfranchised by pagan Rome when they adopted the religious doctrines of the heathen emperor Constantine in the 4th century. They are today incapable of understanding the reality of mind and spirituality that Jesus is portraying. And they have adopted the carnal doctrine that this required second birth is accomplished by repeating a prayer to the Jesus God of Rome. Yet, nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus then states, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again, that is, that birth which is of the flesh is of this world, while that birth which is born out of the living water of immersion in the cleansing of the teachings of the way, and the feminine Holy Spirit in the form of a virgin birth that is not of the physical, but of the Spirit, only such a person who becomes a disciple of the way, and bring about this next stage of birth that permits him to gain entrance into the kingdom and life, and that not only the historical man Jesus, but also his inner core of disciples, had achieved these other levels of birth, is seen in the words, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?'" John 3, 1-12 NKJ. Take notice of the plurality of Jesus' words and witness. "We speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." That the Christian world is incapable of understanding what is being stated is because the church became spiritually disenfranchised by adopting the doctrines and lifestyle of pagan Rome. And thus, the next stage of the virgin birth remains an enigma to the whole foundation of their thinking. An integral part of the original Ebionite Nazarene teachings that few people understand was echoed by Paul, who taught the necessity of transforming man's lower earthly nature. See overcome. Paul commands all those who called themselves Christians, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." Call 3, 5 NIV, see overcome. Thus, in effect, what Paul is stating is that you must cease to be just a cosmic ovum or sperm cut off the loss of vital life force, which is portrayed as the squandering away of the prodigal son's inheritance, and strive to become a spiritual embryo with the opportunity to achieve the next stage of soul birth. At this point, what is written in the epistles of Paul becomes confusing, because a number of people wrote under the name of Paul, see Paul, and the New Testament was severely corrupted by the church, see turnabout, become a child of the kingdom. Jesus taught that, unless you become as a child, little one, you cannot enter the kingdom, and this is absolutely true beyond organic man's imagination. But to become a little one in the kingdom, you must first become an embryo that is evolving and maturing into a spiritual fetus. Yet, because the vast majority of mankind remain a cosmic ovum or sperm, and as in the separation in the allegory of Adam and Eve, they perpetually eat the fruit, thoughts and impressions of the tree of duality, the very consciousness of the earth, which in the parable of the prodigal son is portrayed as the citizen of the far country, inhibits them from evolving beyond that physical organic point of development. Thus, in their divided state, they lack the ability to even possess the knowledge necessary to become a spiritual fetus, and the vast majority of people remain organic and carnal in their thinking, resulting in the very reason why Paul warned that organic man is incapable of even contemplating the higher reality of the soul and the kingdom. See literal. And in the parable of the prodigal son, this is how the citizen of the far country keeps the son a slave to this world. In the same way that Jesus taught that unless you achieve the next stage of birth, you cannot enter the kingdom, he also stated, "And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Matt 18, 2-3 RSV. that any person can prove that the Bible has been edited and corrupted when the teachings on becoming a child were removed, is easily demonstrated in the removal of the mystery of the children. And without understanding that it is the process of achieving the next stage of birth that makes the seeker/disciple a child, is in effect depriving the congregation of believers the knowledge and ability to fulfill the requirements to accomplish what Jesus stated, and enter into the kingdom as a child. This important teaching that was removed from the Gospels because it strongly suggests the journey of the soul over the course of many lifetimes is seen in the restored paraphrased words, "For there are some children which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some who God returned and were made the children of men, and there be children who have made themselves children for the kingdom of heaven's sake." See Mystery of the Children. And that this important teaching was removed by the church is demonstrated at. In a living universe that has been portrayed as a great thought by the modern quantum physicist, which is synonymous with a declaration, "For in him we live and move and have our being." As also some of your own poets have said, "For we are also his offspring." Acts 17:28 in KJ. We can begin to grasp why those who failed to put on the required wedding garment were cast out into the outer darkness of mind and being, that is. "So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Matt 22:12-14 in KJ. It is not that anything is hidden or concealed from us, but rather, that organic man is blind to reality beyond the illusion of the three dimensions of this world. As both the Bible and the concepts of Plato and the poets that is being made reference to in the above all state that the Logos, which is the mind of God, brought all things into existence, then the Bible confirms that we are dwelling within a great thought that is, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And the solution to man's dilemma is to consciously bring about our own development of mind and being through the process of expansion of our resources of mind in order to fulfill our ultimate potential, that is, "For we are also his offspring." The wedding garment can be very much portrayed as the prodigal son living the consecrated life that transforms him into the final temple, in order to bring about the necessary expansion of mind that initiates the next stages of birth. The prodigal sons and daughters must cease to squander away their inheritance, that is, the very energy of vital life force that empowers and manifests our consciousness, and we must channel this bioenergy within us. Thus, in order to put on the required wedding garment and bring about the expansion of mind that permits us to make the journey in the way, we must cease squander away the bioenergy, that is, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Luke 15:13-16 NKJ. That each of us is the divine offspring of God, the lost prodigal sons and daughters who are presently in the far country, is further attested to in the words, "Jesus answered them, 'Is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods.'" John 10:34 NKJ. That both the Bible and the pre-Nicene Church openly taught this fact is demonstrated at. And it was for this important reason that the second century church, Father Clement of Alexandria, said that it is the greatest of all lessons to know oneself. "For if one knows himself, he will know God, and knowing God, he will be made like God, and that man becomes God, since God so wills." And this is why the Gospel of Thomas proclaims, "But if you will not know yourselves, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty. Whoever finds himself is superior to the world," in his treatise on the soul and the resurrection. St. Gregory writes that the resurrection is no other thing than the reconstitution of our nature in its original form, and states that there will come a time when the complete whole of our race shall have been perfected from the first man to the last. Thus, we are all the prodigal sons and daughters of the Most High, and it is our destiny to return to our source. See, this is why the historical Jesus is portrayed as the pattern to follow after that is, a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. 1 Tim 1:16 KJV. And thus, the prodigal son returns to his source, as seen in the words of St. Nazianzen when he writes that when God is no longer an object of wonder, but rather an object of desire, and we, desiring to be purifying from the defilements of this world, make ourselves fit vessels for the Lord to indwell, the Spirit, according to St. Nazianzen, reveals to us our true nature, and the revelation of this manifest sacred knowledge makes us like God, so that when we have thus become like himself, God may, to use a bold expression, hold converse with us as gods, being united to us, and that perhaps to the same extent as he already knows those who are known to him. Saint Nazianzen then writes that the divine nature then is boundless and hard to understand by those who are yet carnal and think his natural organic beings of this world. The difficulties encountered by man in his quest to know both self and God, which it is attested to that he is the offspring of, is seen in the fact that he is a threefold being, and each level must be brought to maturity in order to support the next level. Because all levels of being in creation are like the notes of the musical scale, that is, both independent and interdependent on each other, each aspect of each level must both evolve to wholeness within itself, while fully supporting each subsequent level. In the same way that the heart is a singular unit of the body, and yet it is intimately entwined throughout and in support of the whole, as is all the other organs of the body, each level of being must of itself be complete within itself, and yet intimately support each and every level of the whole. A defective heart will inhibit the whole of the body from properly functioning as a single unit, and can even bring death. And this is true of just about every organ and gland of the body. If the body of a fetus is defective in the womb, then most often there will be a miscarriage, and in the case that the fetus is born, most often it will be handicapped. What is true in the physical is in like manner true with respect to achieving the next stage of birth, and when Jesus warned that those who believed his teachings should seek to enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14 in KJ. The narrow gate is synonymous with the inner birth canal that the seeker must enter to emerge out of the outer darkness of mind and being of this world. See outer darkness. It is important to note that the above word translated destruction in no manner represents what is actually being presented. Quoting the footnote on this word in the Scofield Reference Bible, which reads, there is no thought in these various words of annihilation, but of something that is ruined and thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose. In the same way that a woman does not perish if one of her eggs fails to be fertilized and become an embryo or evolve into a fetus, neither does the soul perish when one of its images, which is projected into this world, fails to evolve through the three stages of birth, holographically, in accord with the divine pattern of creation which encompasses every level of mind and being. We enter this world as a projected embryonic image of our soul or higher soul self. The soul, which is neither male nor female, and does not have a physical body, that is in actuality an allegorical manifestation of our mind, cannot incarnate into this realm of duality, no more than a woman can manifest herself in one of her ovum, or a man manifest himself as one of his sperm. So, the soul generates an image into a physical body at conception, and the soul can only enter this world if the image is able to mature and evolve into what portrays as a final temple. And in the same way that if a woman's ovum fails to become a fertilized embryo and fetus, it is thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose, which in like manner is true with respect to the embryonic image of the soul that is projected into this world, unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose. And in the same way that the purpose of the ovum and sperm is to evolve a body out of the lower three kingdoms of the earth and bring about wholeness by achieving union with the upper three heavenly kingdoms, this overcoming of the duality of heaven and earth within the person enables the person to serve as a vehicle for the embryonic image of the soul that is projected into the physical body to expand and evolve. When the fetus is born into this world as an infant, it must in like manner evolve in order to achieve the next stage of the necessary threefold birth that enables the soul to enter into what Jesus portrayed as life. Within the holographic divine pattern of creation, the attributes of the whole, or the macrocosm, is replicated into each of the fragments, or microcosm, which is biblically expressed in the statement that man was created in the image and likeness of God. And in the same way that man must evolve through a threefold birth process, at each level he finds himself in the form of an ovum or sperm, as each level of being is imbued with and interacts in accord with the higher reality of the holographic divine pattern of creation. And herein lies one of the primary problems, as seen in the reality that the body, which has been formed out of earth matter and spectrum of frequencies associated with the physical earth, can only support the development of mind that is associated with the earth, which equates to the fact that to move beyond the inherent earth frequencies of this physical world and the lower three earthly kingdoms requires a conscious effort on the part of the seeker / disciple. In addition to expressing the absolute need to overcome one's earthly nature as a cosmic ovum or sperm, Paul taught the need to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, 2 Cor 10:5, which provokes a number of important questions that few students of the Bible even stop to consider. That is, why should every thought be obedient to Christ? What does it mean? And how is such a thing even accomplished? What Paul portrays as capturing every thought and making it obedient to Christ is the process of first making each thought whole, and then raising it up in order to nourish and develop the higher areas of mind that must be expanded in the process of bringing about the next stage of birth. In the same way that a forming fetus and infant must receive proper nourishment in an environment that supports growth, the developing mind must receive the proper nourishment in the form of impressions which bring growth and light in the proper environment that fosters the necessary process of alchemical transformation. Once properly understood, the same holographic rules apply to the next stage of birth with respect to becoming a spiritual fetus in the womb of Mother Earth and ultimately Mother God that applied when you were just an ovum in your mother's womb. Accept the fact that every thought is an impression being generated, and while your physical mother only generated and released a single ovum, the next level of soul birth, or that of the mind, is far more complex. And on the next level of birth, there is a multitude of thoughts and impressions that must be generated and be fertilized, combined with its opposite polarity, and matured so that it can be raised up in the development of the higher areas of mind that are not supported by the physical body vessel, or the cosmic consciousness of the earth. And this is an integral part of the esoteric knowledge of the secrets of spiritual alchemy that transforms the lead of the physical body vessel into the philosopher's stone, which transforms the body into the gold that serves as the foundation for the final temple, enabling one to become a spiritual fetus, with the opportunity to achieve the next stage of soul birth that Yeshua said was absolutely necessary to enter the kingdom, thus giving an important spiritual meaning to the words of Jesus that, unless you become as a child, little one, you cannot enter the kingdom.